We are in for a special treat this morning, and the choir wanted to be able to see, not just look at the side of her as she sang. And so that's why I had them come down before she sang. So that's why a little awkward movement there. But Faith Gonzalez is going to come and give us a treat this morning.
Thank you. Christian, this is the right one, right? He told me he messed with the microphones.
When I am down and oh my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burden be, and then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and see.
Thank you, Faith. You have a very great talent, and we want to thank you for sharing that with us and praising God in that way. As we continue our time together, we want to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. Good morning. How are you all doing? Good. Watch out. Scoot over. All right. Well, Franklin had the bag a couple weeks ago and brought it, and of course we had something different planned. So this is from Franklin. So if I don't know what it is, then we'll just see what happens. A tank. Well, that's cool. Oh, wow, you can put a person in it. All right. Do y'all know what tanks are used for?
Army.
Yeah, for fighting, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Easy there. Stop shooting everybody. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the nice thing about tanks is these big old wheels. They can go anywhere, can't they? There's not a whole lot that can stop them. They're kind of like a tractor's wheel, that's right, to some degree. And so they can go anywhere. And so what I think we can learn from the tank today is just the opportunity it has to go everywhere and to do the things that it needs to. Yes. And now you're speechless. Uh-huh.
My mommy and me and my sister got a tank for Abby and me.
Was it life size? Little?
Big.
Oh, big. Okay, cool. So tanks can go. Yeah, I know. So tanks can go anywhere. Shh. Yes. Have a seat. There you go. So tanks can go anywhere. They can do a lot of cool stuff. And we have the opportunity when Jesus sends us places to go to the places that he wants us to go to. And he will equip us to do the things that we need to do. And he will give us the armor that we need to defend ourselves and the weapons we need to share his love and grace with others. So with that being said, I'm going to hide this. And let's see. Who hasn't had the bag in a while? Oh, my. There's so many of you. All right. You're about to cry, aren't you? You've had it in recently.
I did not.
You did not? Oh, well, forgive me. Well, I tell you what, I'll give it to you because you're right there standing up all nice. You can help, all right? All right, let's pray, and then you guys can go to Children's Church. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and your grace. We thank you for the opportunity we have to be sent out by you to go to the places you send us to. We pray that we would go with the confidence that you have sent us and equipped us to do that work. And we pray that we would be able to accomplish all that you have set before us. Lord, we thank you for these children, for the opportunity we have to teach them and to learn from them. And we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you guys can go to Children's Church. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from James chapter 3, verses 13 to James 4, verse 3. We've been looking at James over the course of the last several weeks, spending some time in James. It was mentioned to me a few weeks ago that James goes from preaching to meddling very quickly. And so I think we've noticed that in our time together in James. I want to thank Joe for filling in for me last week. He did an excellent job, and I appreciate that, and I want to thank you all for giving me the opportunity to go to a homecoming. I told them last week, I said, nobody's ever invited me back before, and so I don't know if they ever will again, but they did at least once. So, but again, I want to thank you for the opportunity afforded to go, and I hadn't been there in 11 years. I was there for 3 years as their youth leader, and it was a good time together. As we consider James this morning, I want to remind us kind of where we've been to kind of get us back up to speed and to kind of refresh our memory. We looked at the very first week, and we can really kind of sum James up in two words. And for me, those words are faithful activity, being faithful in the work that we do, and faithful and active in the faith that we have. The week after that, we looked at loving our neighbor. Right, and we define neighbor as those people who are in closest proximity to us at the time. And then last week, Joe shared about how we use our tongue, this small but powerful part of our body that can often get us into trouble, tear people down, but if used properly, can build others up. And today we're going to talk about the wisdom that comes from above, the wisdom given to us by God, and how we appropriate that in our use today. So with that being said, let us hear now from James chapter 3, verses 13 to chapter 4, verse 3. Are any of you wise and understanding? Show that your actions are good with a humble lifestyle that comes from wisdom. However, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, then stop bragging and living in ways that deny the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. Instead, it is from the earth, natural and demonic. Wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there is disorder in everything that is evil. What of the wisdom from above? First, it is pure, and then peaceful, gentle, obedient, filled with mercy and good actions, fair and genuine. Those who make peace sow the seeds of justice by their peaceful acts. What is the source of conflict among you? What is the source of your disputes? Don't they come from your cravings that are at war in your own lives? You long for something you don't have, so you commit murder. You are jealous for something you can't get, so you struggle and fight. You don't have because you don't ask. You ask and don't have because you ask with evil intentions, to waste it on your own cravings. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day that you've given to us. We're thankful for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. We pray that you have given me the words to speak. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. We ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. The passage before us today, really in chapter 4, answers one of the great questions that we tend to ask God. And that question is, why doesn't God always answer our prayers? Now, a lot of you are probably thinking, well, hold on, preacher. God always answers our prayers. And yes, you are correct. But it doesn't always feel like that, does it? If we're honest with ourselves, from time to time, it seems as if God isn't even listening, right? It seems odd. We go through this exercise of prayer, and at times it just seems like we're sitting, folding our hands, closing our eyes, and just talking to ourselves, right? Anybody ever felt like that before? All right, good. We ask ourselves, does God really listen to us? Does he have the time to listen to us? We ask all of these profound questions and make all of these requests. And this passage kind of speaks directly to that. James tells us in chapter 4, verse 2, that we don't have because we don't ask. Well, James, that's baloney. I have asked. Have you asked? You've asked. We've asked for lives of loved ones to be spared, only for that not to take place. We've asked for needs to be met, only for us to find ourselves in greater want. We've asked for situations to change, and yet they remain the same, and they maybe even seem worse than they did before. We've asked, James. That's baloney. That's not correct. That's not true. Not true. Not true. True. And James probably realizes this as he's writing these words, and so he clarifies this in chapter 4, verse 3, when he has the audacity to tell us that we don't have because we ask with evil intentions, to waste it on our own cravings. And so then we have to ask ourselves, when I've asked for lives to be spared, has it been God's will or has it been my own craving, my own selfishness that has wanted them to remain? When I've asked for needs to be met, have they really been needs or have they simply been wants? When I've asked for situations to change, has it been because I'm afraid of what I'm going to have to deal with or because of something greater? The Greek word for evil, your translation may say you've asked wrongly or something to that effect, but the Greek word is kakos, and it literally means having the wrong motive. So you're intentionally doing something wrong. Any Star Wars fans out there this morning? Joel has been into Star Wars here recently, much to my very great delight. He's a nerd just like his old man. And so we've been watching the movies, and we were watching Episode 3 yesterday, and it comes to that pivotal scene with Anakin Skywalker. He wants so desperately for his wife to stay alive. He doesn't want to lose her like he's lost his mother in the past, and he doesn't want to lose her, and he has every, almost it seems, good intention to try to keep her alive, to try to save her, even though at present there's nothing wrong with her, that he gets all sorts of deluded, and he falls into the trap of who would eventually become the Emperor, who's the main bad guy, and he becomes Darth Vader. All because of his own craving, his own desire, his own selfishness, all the things that he wants to happen. Anyone ever been a Darth Vader, maybe, from time to time? Without the mask, but still. I would submit to us this morning that we ask Jesus wrongly, we ask with evil intentions, when we ask him for things without first listening to him, without first going and being with him and trying to hear what he has to say on the matter. Right? How many of you this morning would go to a baker and expect them to change your oil in your car? Right? It doesn't make sense. Right? How many of you would go to a florist and expect them to bake you something? Right? It doesn't make sense. It's not how these things work. Right? You've got to kind of read the sign on the door. You've got to take some time to get to know what that's all about before you go in and you make these weird claims and these weird asks. Without listening to God, without spending time with God, we cannot and we will not ask him for things appropriately. Just because he is God, just because he loves us, just because he loves everyone, doesn't mean that he wants the same things I want. And that's a hard pill to swallow. I've noticed in my own life the need to listen more and to ask questions more. It's something I'm working on. I'm trying to get better at it. I still struggle with it. It does very little good to just tell someone how to do something, right? It does very little good to just tell someone something and expect them to take it as the truth, right? Anyone ever done that? This is what you need to do, right? Anyone ever had a sentence start like that? This is what you need to do. I've had very little success with that. But I have had amazing success and amazingly effective success when I simply listen to what somebody is saying. And when I ask questions, sometimes I'll ask clarifying questions. Sometimes I'll ask probing questions. Well, is that the best way to do what you're trying to do? How has that worked for you? How has it not worked for you? Anyone ever have more success kind of asking those questions of somebody when you're trying to help them along than just giving them the answers? A humble lifestyle, James identifies in chapter 3, verse 13, the first verse in this passage. And it's one that seeks to understand rather than to be understood. Now, how many of us in here would consider ourselves good listeners this morning? Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. All right. So what is a good listener? What does a good listener do? As, yes, a good listener listens. Thank you. So Done. All right, I'll wrap it up and we'll have... No. Yeah, absolutely. A good listener doesn't just hear what is being said, but a good listener will make eye contact, right? They'll stop what they're doing and engage in the person that's talking, right? They won't try to multitask. And they will hear what is being said. And more often than not, the best thing to do is maybe to rephrase what you think was said so that you can make sure that you and the person you're listening to are on the same page, right? These are so important. It's so vital to do this, because how many of us listen to answer, but we don't just listen to listen? How many times have you been in a conversation where someone's telling you something and you're ready to throw your hand up and say, I know what to do. I know what the answer is. I know how this is supposed to work. That's baloney, because you don't know. You haven't listened. You have really no idea what they're talking about or asking about. This is wisdom, seeking to understand rather than to be understood. Wisdom is one who seeks after a humble and a good lifestyle, he tells us there at the very beginning. In verse 17 of chapter 3, he says, the wisdom from above is this: it's pure, it's peaceful, it's gentle, it's obedient, it's merciful and good and fair and genuine. The best way for us to make peace is to listen. Because when we listen, we put ourselves in the other person's shoes. When we listen, we consider their perspective. Now, I'm working on this with other people. It's something, again, I'm continuing to work on. If you feel like I'm not listening to you, please tell me, and I'll work on it, because that's what I'm working on. And while I feel like I'm getting better at this with people, I feel like I'm not getting very much ground as far as my relationship with God. I don't feel like I ever ask him about his perspective on things. God, what do you think about this? God, can you help me understand this a little bit more? Maybe I need to walk a mile in God's shoes before I ask him for something and try to figure out if what I'm asking for is appropriate or not, if it's filled with evil intentions or if I'm asking what I'm supposed to be asking. Do we consider God's perspective when we ask for things? Have you ever considered that when you're asking God to keep somebody from dying, God sees it as you trying to keep that person away from him in heaven? Have you ever considered that? Have we ever thought about that? And God's like, well, I want this person with me now. I want this person with me in a very powerful, real way, without any interruptions of sinfulness or any of the things that we have with us now. Have we ever thought about it from God's perspective? When we ask God to meet our needs, have we ever considered that what God is hearing us say is, you're not doing it right, God. You're not doing enough for me, God. I need more. Have we ever considered that? Have we ever considered that when we ask God to change situations, the effect that it's going to have on countless others? Because I want to avoid some minor inconvenience or struggle, whatever that may be. Do we consider God's perspective? Have we asked God, God, what do you want in this situation? And that's a hard question to ask. The last time I really asked God that in all earnestness, or I guess the main time that comes to mind, was when I was wrestling with my call to ministry. God, what do you want? But I don't want to do this. I don't want to be a preacher. Right? What do you want? And I remember asking him that. And as soon as I asked him that, I just felt this burden lift. I was like, dang it. Now I know what he wants. Here we go. And it's been a blessing ever since, for the most part. We often approach God with requests, but we rarely take time to listen to him, to simply be with him. When was the last time you were just with God? I'll admit, over the last several months, it's been fairly hectic. I like to try to come up here in the sanctuary early in the morning when I first get here and just kind of sit and be with God. And I'll admit that over the probably the past 6 to 8 weeks, I've just not done that. I've come up here, but I've not just kind of been. I've not just kind of sat. And so I'll ask you to be in prayer for me as I work on that. Hopefully tomorrow I can just come in here and just be with God. But when was the last time we were just with God? How many of us know those people that every time they're around us, they're asking us for something? Every time when there's a conversation, they've got a request. And how many of us, when we see them coming, we turn and kind of start going the other way, right? We kind of want to avoid them because we know they're going to ask us something, right? Anyone know what I'm talking about? If you don't know what I'm talking about, you're that person. Stop asking questions. Stop asking for stuff. And I have to ask myself from time to time, when I go and approach God, does he have a very great desire to turn and walk away because he knows I'm only coming to him to ask for something? Maybe that's why Moses only saw God's back. Because Moses kept asking, I was like, no, I'm out of here. Can't deal with this. Have we ever considered that? When we only approach God with requests, with needs and wants, our intentions are wrong. Our intentions are evil. Our relationship with God isn't merely about getting things, but about being with God. I believe that if we go to be with God long enough, if we get into the habit of just simply wanting to be with God and learn to be with God, we will be thanking him for what he's done, rather than simply asking him for what he hasn't done. Now, some of you this morning are probably thinking, well, preacher, why is it wrong to ask God for things? And if that question is on your mind this morning, then you have missed the point entirely. I'm not saying it's wrong to ask for things. What I'm saying is, do we have a relationship built up with God enough that we can genuinely ask for things? What I'm saying is, do we spend enough time with God to know what we can genuinely ask him for? Do we genuinely know what his will is for our life and for the lives of others? Are we willing to preface any request we ask for him with, Lord, if it's your will? It's not wrong to ask God for things. But do we have a standing relationship with him where it's a way that we can appropriately ask him? What is God's perspective? What is this wisdom from above, this humility that he calls us to? I think it's the humility for us to realize that we are not God, that he is, and that far too often, we need to just listen and not speak. This is what we need to concern ourselves with, wisdom from above. Everything else will work itself out. The board out here says, follow God or something like that, and everything will fall into place, something like that. That's it right there. Let us desire wisdom from above over everything else. Let us approach God humbly with the desire to know him more and to be known more by him. And I think we'll find that things will be less frustrating. I think we'll find that we won't ask God why prayers aren't answered maybe as often as we do. I think we'll begin to really, truly engage with God in ways that we never thought were possible. And we will truly begin to see things happen that we've probably never seen happen before. Again, James is going to meddle with us. That's what he does. That's who he is. Lord, thank you for allowing James to meddle. Thank you for allowing James the courage to write these things that he's written in ways that we need to hear and that we need to understand. Lord, give us the strength to be with you. Give us the courage to listen. Guide us. Lead us. Show us who you are so that we might come to you in the way that would be most appropriate, most beneficial, most effective. Lord, above all, give us you. We ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Our hymn of invitation.